Together, we are building a better Virgin Islands.
Improving our standard of living.
Creating a culture of excellence.
Safeguarding our communities.
Protecting our natural and human resources.
Putting our people and country first. For your daily source of timely and accurate information, this is your GIS report, brought to you by the Department of Information and Public Relations. And now your host for today's program.
Hello and welcome to another GIS report with Health in Perspective, reporting for the Ministry of Health and Social Development. I am Public Health Communications Specialist Natasha Letsum. Today, our conversation revolves around the Port of Spain NCD Summit Declaration and its 10th year anniversary and the impact it has made on chronic diseases locally and throughout the Caribbean. Today, our guest is Dr. Alafia Samuel. Welcome, Dr. Samuel.
Hi, how are you?
Great. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you are affiliated with the Port of Spain Declaration.
I am the director of the Chronic Disease Research Center, which is a center, specialized research center at the University of the West Indies. We are based in Barbados, and we are part of the larger Caribbean Institute for Health Research, which is headquartered out of the Vice Chancellor's office in Mona, UWI Mona. I came to the Port of Spain Declaration research project because CARICOM and PAHO were asked by the CARICOM heads of government to be the agencies who would evaluate the declaration, the 2007 declaration. And they got funding from the Canadian IDRC, International Development Research Center. And they asked us to lead the evaluation. We had a number of partners, including partners from all three campuses of UWI, as well as University of Toronto, Healthy Caribbean Coalition, Caribbean Public Health Agency, PAHO itself. And so we started this research project 3 years ago, 2014. And for the first 2 years, we did research and put all the data together. And the last year has been really sharing the data and trying to see how we can organize based on the information from the research to move the agenda forward.
Can you share with us an overview of the declaration and what it seeks to achieve?
So in 2007, the heads of government sort of on the instigation, if you want to use that word, of Sir George Aline, really recognized that non-communicable diseases, that would be heart disease and stroke, diabetes, cancers, respiratory diseases. These diseases have four common risk factors: unhealthy diets, physical inactivity, tobacco use, and alcohol abuse. So we decided to look at those diseases in detail because what is happening is that most of the deaths in the Caribbean are due to those diseases. But, of course, you know we have to die of something, right? So that in itself is not really the issue. The issue is the age at which our people are dying from these diseases. So whereas in North America, on average, it's people in their 60s and 70s and 80s mm-hmm. who are dying from heart attack and stroke, in the Caribbean, it's people in their 40s and 50s.
Wow.
So we have twice the premature mortality as North America. And premature mortality is people between the ages of 30 and 69 who die from these diseases. And most of the deaths in this age group are preventable. And even in older age groups, you can do a lot to delay the onset of the disease and the complications from the disease. So because the Caribbean has some of the highest rates, in fact, Trinidad and Guyana have the highest rates in the whole Western Hemisphere. And so the heads of government really were concerned, and so they decided to meet and talk about non-communicable diseases because Sir George Aline and the evidence is clear that heads of government need to address it because it's bigger than the Minister of Health. Why do I say that? I mentioned four risk factors. Let's take unhealthy diets. The things that promote or recommend or suggest unhealthy diets really lie outside of the health sector. So the Minister of Health really has little or no say in the taxes that are placed on sugar-sweetened beverages or taxes placed on tobacco. That is a decision made by the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance. But we get benefits, if you want to put it that way, because if you tax cigarettes or you tax sugar-sweetened beverages, people will have less of them and they'll have better health status.
So the whole thinking behind it to increase the taxes to kind of be as a financial deterrent, which will kind of help persons to keep away from these unhealthy, you know, foods and drink tobacco.
Right, right.
So how is that working out so far?
Well, with tobacco, we have had some success, you know. Most countries in the region have signed on to this international treaty, the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. Mm-hmm. A number of countries have introduced the graphic warnings on tobacco boxes, you know, showing the effects of tobacco on the body, on babies, causing impotence in men, and so on. Mm-hmm. A lot of countries have increased taxation on tobacco. In Jamaica, they have used some of those tobacco taxes to fund the National Health Fund, which actually is a source of funding for health promotion activities and so on. Mm-hmm. And a number of countries have passed no smoking laws, so no smoking in public places. We're hoping that this year, 2017, which is the 10th anniversary of the Port of Spain Declaration, that most of the countries in the Caribbean will pass no smoking in public places legislation, and also impose or increase taxes on sugar-sweetened beverages.
Okay. Now, you mentioned something earlier that I found interesting. You said that the Caribbean is 2 times more prevalent for premature mortality.
Yes.
Why? Why is that? What are we doing in the Caribbean that predisposes us to these NCDs?
Well, it mostly has to do with the food, the diet. We have some of the most obese people in the world, and obesity is a big risk factor for cardiovascular disease, heart attack, and stroke. Also, we have a lot of salt in our diet, you know, the salt fish and the pig's tail and the pickled mackerel and all that. Yeah. That's a very staple part of our diet. And we, as we have developed, we have become less and less physically active. So a lot of people now drive, spend a lot of time in cars or in buses. They have jobs where they sit at their desk for most of the day. But the biggest problem is the types of foods we are eating. So I heard the other day an interesting story. They say our grandparents used to grow the food they ate. Mm-hmm. Our parents bought those natural foods at the market. We are buying foods in the supermarket, so that includes both the natural foods and all of the canned foods and processed foods and all of that. Mm-hmm. Our children are buying fast food. So you see how quickly we have changed the way we eat. Mm-hmm. And that is what is causing our high rates of heart attack and stroke.
So in terms of this declaration now, what is the plan of action in carrying out the mission that will help to reduce these diseases in the Caribbean? What does this declaration call for?
Right. So it calls for a number of things. There are 15 points to the declaration, but mostly it calls for reducing the risk factors that I mentioned earlier. So tobacco, unhealthy diets, and physical inactivity. The declaration does not speak specifically to the harmful effects of alcohol. And this is an issue which we need to address. You know that alcohol is produced by a lot of countries in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. It's part of the economy. It's part of our sort of socializing, but it's causing a lot of harm. And alcohol can kill you in about 100 different ways. There's every organ system in the body chronic alcoholism can damage. And it's not just chronic alcoholism or being an alcoholic. It is people who misuse alcohol, who binge drink. So 5 drinks or more at one setting for a man, 4 drinks or more at one setting for a woman. And you find that it not only causes damage in terms of non-communicable diseases, cancers, and so on and so forth, but it also causes other problems. It causes domestic violence. It causes motor vehicle accidents. Mm-hmm. It causes interpersonal violence. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is a big problem, which really is not being sufficiently addressed. But in the declaration, we did address, I spoke earlier about the tobacco business with no smoking and increasing taxes. Mm-hmm. One of the problems we have is with schools. You know, over time, the foods that school children are eating have become less and less healthy. Mm-hmm. And it is now, you know, quite the rage to be taking processed foods to school. And even in the schools, sometimes the things that are served to children in schools are not healthy. They are full of fat, sugar, and salt. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the schools try, but the vendors at the gate are selling the package. Anything in a package, you know, is preserved with salt. Mm-hmm. If you have to pull it open in a package and it goes crinkle, crinkle, it probably has a lot of salt in there, much more than you need. So as I say to my friends, I say, cut out the middleman. Eat directly what is produced mm-hmm. from the earth. You know, if it can be picked straight off of a tree or dug straight out of the ground, that's the best thing for us to eat. No bother with the processing and the tin food and the salted, the sandy, all of that stuff. Just eat what we grow.
Well, that is an interesting concept because I think a lot of people need to get back to eating what they grow. And not so much depending on the supermarkets, because whatever food they're importing now, there's a lot of genetically modified foods. I mean, could you speak to that in terms of what is being, you know, fed or what is being offered to consumers these days? Like the other day, I went to the supermarket and bought a lime. I got home, I cut the lime to make some limeade, and not one seed was in that lime. So that tells me that is an altered food. So when you think you're doing things healthy and you think you're trying your best for your family, at the end of the day, it's just something else. So I don't know if you could speak to those issues and what recommendations you would make.
Okay, so first let me just say that fresh fruits and vegetables, regardless, are always better than anything in a tin or a can. So we do not have the capacity in the Caribbean to test for genetically modified food. So I don't know, and I don't know if anybody knows, if we are importing some of those foods. But it is said that the risk is low. I don't have any evidence to the contrary. What we do have evidence of is that the tin foods, whether produced in the Caribbean or imported from abroad, are full of nitrates. The other day there was a report as to how these nitrates are causing cancer. They are also full of fat. So, you know, tins of corned beef and bully beef and Vienna sausage and all of these things, mm-hmm. full of fat. Also, people should look at the labels of the foods they buy. If there are chemicals listed on that label, you really don't want to be eating all of that chemicals. Mm-hmm. You know, cut out the middleman. Why are you paying somebody to put chemicals in your body? Just buy the fresh fruits and vegetables, whether it's sold in a supermarket, sold in the market, or whether you grow it yourself, fresh fruits and vegetables.
This has been your GIS report, focused on government's initiatives to empower, stimulate, protect, build, and improve our territory. If you would like us to address a specific topic or want to give some feedback on today's program, contact the Department of Information and Public Relations at 468-2730 or email us gis@gov.vg.